So I was looking back at our emails to just see what talking points we could talk about. And I realized we only started speaking a few months ago. For some reason, I thought it had been more than a year. I think last time we spoke, I was like, oh yeah, you've been celibate for like a year, right? And you're like, no, 6 months. But for some reason, it feels like a lot of things have happened. And I thought I've known you more than a year, actually.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's been, I think, half a year or something.
Yeah. I think our first time we spoke was September, end of September.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so not even. So anyway, I think you have a very cool story that I think is very relatable and can give insight to a lot of men, because you kind of took on kind of a typical issue, but you took it on very head on and you got results pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So I would love for you to, I mean, if you could just tell your story from before we met, breakup, etc.
Sure. So last year at this time, I was kind of paralyzed. I was in a relationship that just did not work out. In this relationship, my ex-girlfriend was definitely the more powerful part. She was the dominant part, and I was suffering, but I was not for a long time not admitting that to myself. And so last year in January, I developed, I got panic attacks. I went to the hospital with heart problems that were psychosomatic. So my heart was actually fine. And I was really, really bad. I was actually at some points really afraid that, you know, I might die. Obviously, you know, that was a bit, that was not realistic, but I was really, really, yeah, in a bad moment. And I started seeing a therapist and finding out that what I had was kind of a people pleaser, white knight syndrome. That means that I used to search all my life for women that had problems or that, you know, had a difficult life situation or whatever, mm-hmm. who I could fix. Yeah. And by fixing these women, I would feel better myself and feel like, okay, now I deserve sex, love, whatever, in return, right?
Also known as Captain Save-A-Ho in America.
Yeah, okay. I did not know this term, but yeah, it's exactly that. And so, and you know, I had this moment, it was in March when I was in hospital with heart problems. I thought like, okay, you know, like this is the point, like it can't get worse. So I really have to do something about it. And I started to look at what is actually my problem here. And I discovered a lot of shame, sexual shame. Basically, why I ended up always in relationships, even maybe if I knew, let's say, that a relationship is not good for me and this is not the right woman for me, I felt like sex is something bad, desire is something bad in itself. It's what my parents taught me, that a man who penetrates, a man who desires a woman is kind of toxic. So that's not something you do. You ask for sex or you please until the woman gives you what you want, right? And so I ended up in relationships often. I think partly because of sexual shame, because what I found out about myself is I felt so bad when a woman gave me sex that I had to pay for it with slavery, right? So there's a price you have to pay. And that's all these things came out when I started to really look, what's my problem here?
Mm-hmm. So you felt like it was such a big thing from her to give you something that you didn't deserve. So you had to basically give away all your freedom.
Right. I felt deep inside, I felt undeserving anyways. Right. Because I was very much enmeshed by my mother. I had have a very close relationship with my mom, who basically judged every step that I did. And I learned very early that my mom was never really content with what I do. So I have to do more, right? I can't just go out with my friends, but I have to do homework before, or have to show her that I cleaned the kitchen before I can go and play. And so in my adult life, I can't just have sex and just gain something or receive something, because then I would, my brain would go like, no, that's wrong. Like, I can't have just a woman liking me or wanting to sleep with me. And if that happened, I felt so bad. Like, okay, my goodness, we had sex. That's bad in itself. You know, like, my goodness, what am I doing now? Like, okay, I now have to bring her gifts.
Yourself.
Punish myself, right? Put myself into slavery and show her that I'm different. I think that's also this nice guy syndrome that Robert Glover describes very nicely. You want to prove that you're different. Different from other men, whoever they might be, because you just heard of these toxic men everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also for you, your mom criticized these qualities in your dad, right?
Right, right. Yes. She basically...
go ahead.
Yeah, she talked about my dad's... young years, and yeah, he had so many women, and you know, you can't just, you know, break women's hearts and mess around with their feelings and just, you know, fuck around or whatever. And so of course you're a boy, you're listening to that and you learn, okay, my mom expects me to be different from my dad, who was promiscuous or whatever. And that was deep, deep, deep inside. I did not even know that I have I had this conditioning from her, right?
Mm-hmm. And was this around the time that you got hooked on prostitutes?
That was 2 years before. So I was 4 years in this relationship. And after 2 years already, I felt that it is not working out. But as I have to please a woman, or I have to stay loyal in a way in order to be someone, right? So from my mindset, or my unconscious belief was, in order to be a good man, a good person, you have to stick with your woman no matter how hard the times are, no matter how complicated, right? So after 2 years, I realized, of 2 years of relationships, I realized this is not good. It's not working out. It makes you sick, really. And I wanted to break up with her. And then something terrible happened in her life where I thought, okay, right, I can't break up with her now because something terrible happened in her life. I have to be there for her, right? I can't do it just now. It's just not the right timing. But then the right timing never came, right? So 3 months went by, half a year month went by, and I was really... I felt helpless. I felt impotent. I felt like I could not get out of the situation nor change it. And then I started to drown my desperation, let's say, in porn. That's how it all started. I just, you know, distracted myself from my pain, from my impotence, from my paralysis, so to speak. And I crave for regaining power, regaining control over something, over my life, over something. And in my fantasies, I felt like, okay, in my relationship, she's the dominant part. She's not happy with whatever I give. I caretake. It's not enough. She says, do more. If you want me to marry you one day, do more. And it's never enough.
Just like with your mom.
Exactly. Yeah. I basically searched my mom in younger, right? That's what happens if you are a mother and meshed son. It's just that you have a heavy mom who's heavy on you, and you try to replay that with your girlfriends. And so I started dreaming of promiscuous or forbidden women, like prostitutes, because I felt like kind of if I dream of something that is really bad, you know, like if I think that sex in itself is not good, then, you know, dreaming of prostitutes or even like searching them online is something really bad, but it made me feel alive.
Yeah.
It made me feel alive.
I think with a lot of fantasies like that, like, you know, guys fantasize about things like that with taboo sex or power or whatever, it's almost a correction. Like if you've gone so far away from yourself, you need something extreme to pull you back, you know. It's like, yeah, of course you fantasize about the thing you think is bad.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then you go into the extremes, as you said, because you need that kind of aliveness. And the it's funny, the on the days I felt more down, I needed a bigger kick. I need something more extreme to dream about.
Yeah, it's interesting because like you had this transactional view, you had this transactional view of sex, and it's actually the cleanest transaction is with a prostitute. Right. Whereas with before you're exchanging covertly sex for servitude, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, and also what prostitutes meant to me is like I can regain, like she will give me some power for a moment in my fantasies. And I just have to give her money. I don't have to be her slave. I don't have to do anything, right? She will not, after that, call me and say, like, why are you out with your guys again? I told you, you know, I don't want you to go out drinking with your guys. And, you know, I will not have all this controlling and all these, you know, complaints from a prostitute. I will just give her money and then she will say bye and that's it. And for me, I can regain the idea of power and doing something bad and nasty for a moment. And so I was dreaming about that. And then one night I was, of course, that must have happened. I went to a prostitute and it was not like I imagined it. So because it was not, I dissociated basically completely from myself, right? So I was completely, I was not in line with who I am. I did not know what happened. It was really like in a dream. I went there, knocked at the door, was completely nervous, could not have sex with her. Like it did not just, did just not work out because I was completely nervous. We talked. I felt seen. I felt like I already went. The fact that I was there doing something bad, but for myself, something bad or immoral, but for myself, that already was a bit of a healing for me. And then I went out and the shame kicked in because I thought like, oh my goodness, now you are really bad guy. Now you're really, you should be ashamed of yourself. What would your mother think? If your girlfriend would find out, she would definitely kill you. Like I had a very extreme relationship in which I sometimes really had fantasies of her killing me, or I had panic attacks in which I thought she would kill me. She was also kind of jealous, so sometimes jokingly she would say like, haha, if I catch you one day cheating on me, I will cut off your testicles. And I was like laughing, haha. She was like, yeah, you think I'm joking, right? So I was really like, okay, fuck, now I visit a prostitute, I'm done. I'm done. I can never talk about it with her. I can never leave the relationship because now I have to even more serve her, right? Because I felt even more ashamed. So even more, I have to stick with her now forever in this prison.
And about her, I mean, we don't have to talk about her much, but she really pushed your buttons.
Yeah.
Like yeah. It seemed like, I think you told me once that like, she said she had to treat you like a slave.
Yeah, we had this conversation. Yeah. We had this conversation in the end of our relationship. You know, that was 2 years after the prostitute incident. So it took me another 2 years to break up. And when we broke up, I told her, you know, that I felt like a slave. Do you realize that we had this asymmetrical? How do you say it? Like, is it?
Asymmetrical.
Yeah. Asymmetrical relationship. And you were really like, and she said like, yeah, I kind of see it now, but I had no other chance than enslaving you. You asked for it. I have the feeling that you asked for it.
And what did that mean to you?
I really had to think about that. And then I learned, of course, it's 50% my fault, 50% her fault. It's not like she's such a bad woman and I did not, you know, I had to learn to take responsibility and look, why would she have the feeling that I ask for being enslaved? Mm-hmm. Sounded so crazy to me.
Yeah. Well, it's like on one hand, we kind of subcommunicate to people how to treat us. But then also like there are specific instances you've shared with me, like it seemed like she was searching for your boundaries and was happy when you finally would like be violent or something. It was kind of like, this is one of the gifts I think she gave to you, in the sense that she really pushed and pushed and pushed until you.
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There were situations in which I'm always, you know, like, nice guy, always harmonious, always looking that everything is smooth and there's no problem. And, you know, like, always being also so proud of not ever, you know, freaking out, so proud of not being aggressive, so proud of all of, you know, of being so soft and kind. But she pushed me to edges where sometimes I was screaming. I remember a situation when we came back from the holiday and she was like pushing my buttons more and more and more. And then I parked the car and I punched the car from the inside. I screamed and I punched and I screamed and I punched. I did not stop. My voice was not even existing anymore. Like, I could not. After that, I could not talk for 3 days, honestly. Like, my voice was gone. I was screaming. I was raging. And that was one of the moments in which she was silent and in which I felt like, ah, okay, here there was a shift in the power dynamics. Here I was on top. But it took so much to get me there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, and she was a bit of an extreme person, but you were also extremely, you know, soft at the time. But absolutely. it does reveal kind of a normal male female dynamic where she needed you to show strength for her to feel safe. I think maybe a woman who wasn't so extreme wouldn't have needed to push you that far. But that's kind of like, yeah, that was kind of the dynamic between you, of like, she didn't feel where the boundary was. So of course she felt crazy and pushed around.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also said that you said something like she brought me to some insights or gave me some insights. And I do believe that it was really necessary for me to meet her, because I had these kinds of relationships before where I was the nice guy. I was just thinking like, I do just everything fine and then everything will be smooth. And it always repeated until her, who was so extreme and so like crushing my boundaries, like, not giving nothing, just walking right through my boundaries and pushing me and pushing me. And I needed that, because if she would not have had been so extreme, I would not have woken up probably by now. I would have taken my nice guy syndrome in a marriage, trying to fix, to caretake, to people please and everything, and suffer for a whole marriage, or then fuck up the marriage, going to a prostitute with 40, 50 or whatever. And then, you know, it would be a disaster. So actually, yeah. I'm glad to have met her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because all of your previous relationships, probably maybe they were too nice to really show you the truth.
Right.
Where she didn't have any of that nicety. So like she allowed you to feel the pain that forced you to change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So then what happened? You guys broke up?
Yeah, we broke up last summer. So July 2021. And it was really, really hard, because I was addicted to her. I felt like addicted to her, completely addicted to her, addicted to the chaos. You know, that she had this, she was the most interesting, most sexy, most eloquent woman I've ever met, super intelligent, like really, I admired her, right? She was my goddess and I was addicted. It was a complete addiction. So we broke up and I was relieved, but I felt really lost, because I've never been without basically a woman. It was my mom, that was my first girlfriend, my third girlfriend, second, third, and now her. So basically all my life I just spent pleasing a woman. And then I was free. Here I was.
Oh, yeah. And before, you used to judge guys who just slept around, right? Like, you were always
absolutely monogamous. No, they were my auntie. How do you say, like, a person who basically reflects what you would like to do? So it's always when guys trigger you, and I was thinking like, yeah, this dude, basically he just fucks around the whole city, whatever. I would never be like him. Yeah, because you know what? You want to be like him. But yeah. you feel like you can't. Because you feel like there's no chance you could do that. So basically then that's when you start judging someone. You judge someone for something you would like to own yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So you guys broke up. You were addicted to her.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then I said to myself, okay, I got to get rid of this nice guy syndrome. I will not go into a relationship or I will not see women, not flirt, not have contact, not install any dating apps, whatever on my phone for the next half a year. Because I knew myself, because I found out, okay, I have this nice girl syndrome. I have mother enmeshment. I need female validation. Okay. I go cold turkey on female validation. I just will not see any women apart from, of course, my family and some friends, but I will not have any contact with women. I will go do sports. I opened up to all of my male friends, told them everything. I'm telling you, basically, back then it was super shameful. I was really ashamed. I can't believe that I'm talking about this right now, half a year later. But so I basically shared my secrets. I told my guys, hey, guys, you know what? It's so crazy. Please, you know, sit down. You know, I've been to prostitute and everything. And they were like, huh, that's it? I was like, yeah, you know, like I feel so bad. I feel so ashamed. And they were like, dude, who cares? And I was like, what? Like, don't you want to judge me? Don't you want to stone me to death or whatever? And they were like, hey, come on, you know, we realized your situation, not to justify it, but we just saw that and calm down, like chill out, relax. And that was great. So I opened up. I released I released shame. I told my story. I told my truth. I found truth. I told everything to everyone of my good friends. Started weightlifting. Found some cool guys in a cool gym. You know, it's a gym for MMA fighters. So there's this part where they have weightlifting. The other part where I also want to go is where the guys punch each other, and all cool dudes. They were super like welcoming, you know, they pushed me. I have this routine of doing sports with them now twice a week since 6 months or since summer without.
What do you play?
Sorry?
What sports do you play?
What sport? It's just weightlifting. So basically, okay. I basically do, yeah, these, I don't know how to say it in English. The stuff you do in the gym, you know.
Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, right. And so, but I want to try out jiu-jitsu, BJJ or something. That's what they do there. And I find it very cool. So that's the plan for this year. And so I started this sports routine, started focusing on myself, meaning good food, good sleep. My goodness, sleep. No girlfriend who's calling to complain and say like, why are you sleeping already? Or why are you still sleeping or whatever? Sleep, eat, meet good people that know your truth, where you can speak your truth, not see any girls. Try to see who you are without female validation. Like, and that's the thing, like, who was I without female validation? Who am I as a man?
Yeah.
And then I called you, basically.
Yeah. And I just want to say about some of the things you said, like, you know, like slave morality is completely based on how your master sees you, right? Like you completely mold your identity about how, whether it's your parent or in this case, women or your girlfriend. So like I think a lot of people don't have an identity outside of all of these eyes that they think are watching them, their parents or their parents' memory or their girlfriends or their friends or their social circle. So I think that's such a huge thing that a lot of people don't even think about, that they're maybe their entire personality is based on how they think other people want to see them. And then also like with, this is something actually I'm only appreciating more and more now, how important it is for men to spend time with men. Like I never really thought about it because my whole life, I just wanted to be closer to women. You know, I mean, my whole youth, let's say. And it's like, there's something about yourself that kind of atrophies if you're always with a woman all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I never felt comfortable also so much with these kind of strong guys, these other guys, right? Me as a nice guy, I had a lot of female friends. Always I was soft. And I thought about these guys who go to the gym and work out and whatever to be, I felt them to be, I don't know, like my dad, like my mom described my dad, right? Bad or uncivilized or whatever I thought. I don't know. Like I was probably also jealous of them, but I did not realize that. And I felt them to be competition for female validation, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought like, yeah, these guys are the ones who try to, you know, who are competitors to me. And then I started seeing more guys. I had just half a year only. I spent it only with men. And there started some kind of a feeling of a brotherhood that I never had. Mm-hmm. Like all the men are my brothers. The men who I always saw on the other side of the street, full of tattoos, super muscular, you know, like objectifying women, being a bit sexist, being a bit, yeah, rough. I started seeing them as my brothers. And when I was so, when I became so brave to tell everyone what was going on, and I just started to have the sports routine, I show up every week at the same time. I never skip any weight to lift. I never skip any exercise. And after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I was so close to them. Like I have never felt even close to be honest, to a woman. Hmm. I feel so close to the men around me now. I would kill for them. And I would really like, it sounds pathetic, but I would really do everything for them, but in another way, not like I did for women in order to get their validation. I would even do everything for them, even if they would not see it and realize it. Because I changed completely the way I see men.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, I've been thinking more and more about how all mental health issues come from us not being environments that we evolved to be, like our hunter-gatherer ancestors. I mean, what you're describing, it's kind of unusual for men nowadays, but to our ancestors, this was just normal, right? You went out hunting, you had no other choice but to kill for your brothers because otherwise you don't get to come home. Like that was just normal, which is why I think it feels so much like home when you get to experience little bits of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Sounds logic to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Then what happens?
Well, I felt better in my body. Mm-hmm. I became very fit.
We met around September. Yeah, September.
Yeah, we met around September. I learned about the whole topic of masculinity and masculine energy. I started to understand that I divorced from my masculine energy long, long time ago. And through through also the coaching and the conversations that we had, I learned basically to, and the sports to integrate and to explore kind of my masculine energy, to not be ashamed of wanting sex, for example, mm-hmm. not to be ashamed, not to always want to be a good guy. I think it was you who said, like, who cares if something you're doing is good or bad? Like who judges you? Yeah.
I think I asked you, what if there's no such thing as good and evil?
Right.
Because you're always, even when you, with your new outlook, you're like, oh, is this good? It's like, you had a new definition of good, but you're like putting things in the category of good and bad.
Yeah.
Bad as a man. It's like, no, even that is bad. Even your new definition of good is not useful.
Yeah, exactly. And so I tried to not ask people anymore, what do they think? Like, is this bad or is this good or evil? But just to trust myself. And not to judge.
And you get a lot of positive feedback. I'm remembering like with female coworkers, right? Like you would kind of say something that you thought was edgy and get a positive response, right?
Yeah, right. I had the situation where, so I work at a radio station, and sometimes there's not a lot of time to decide what you're going to say in the next take, in the next talk on the show. And so we had 2 minutes, and I knew that what she was scripting was wrong. And then she started to discuss, no, I don't think it's wrong. Why would you say that? And then I shouted just to her, like, through the microphone, like, forget about it. Just scrap it. I write it new. Believe me, what you wrote was completely wrong. I will do it now. So I took her job away. Like, I was like this toxic man who took her task away and just said, like, fuck your script. It's wrong. And then after that, I came to her and said, like, oh, I apologize. Sorry, was I rude to you? And she said to me, no, not at all. Actually, I found it really cool how direct you were. And so I absolutely knew what to do. I just left it to you. And it kind of suits you. And I thought, like, really? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Right. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Because even though, of course, it's less convenient in some ways, one, it's more effective for your job. But in the same way that your ex was pushing your boundaries and not feeling safe because you didn't give her one, you made that woman feel extremely safe because you were extremely competent and you gave her very clearly what the boundaries were, and she could just relax, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had really, these moments really taught me things that I did not learn in years, tens of years. I mean, I'm 31 now, and I'm learning these things right now, that it's okay to be aggressive. It's okay to, I don't know, like, all of these things. It's just,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking back at our emails, as I mentioned earlier, and I think a thing that was like a lot that we spoke about was deservedness. Like, you know, going back, you felt like you need to pay something to get what you want, or give something else, or be something else, as opposed to, like, you deserve things, or you get what you want because, or I should say, you deserve things because you want them. Like, there's no transaction needed. And actually, I mean, just last time we spoke, I think we were talking about power and how power is what makes you deserve it. Like, in nature, in the jungle, power is what makes the lion the king of the jungle. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing when it comes to sexual dynamics. Mm-hmm. And most things, actually, power is what actually makes you deserve something, not some ethical, moral abstraction.
Right. But I needed to understand, and I still need to learn, I think that's where I'm at now, is that power in itself is not something negative.
Yeah.
That's also what I learned from my mom, because, yeah, she said that men who oppress women, I was raised basically by a feminist woman, right? To be exactly the soft guy that would never do anything bad to a woman, which I absolutely support. I absolutely support to not be an oppressor or a tyrant to a woman. I absolutely agree with that. But I needed to learn, and I'm learning now, that power in itself is not bad, and it's what makes you get things in life for free. For example, I've started dating women recently, and I still need to understand why it is that they like me, although I have not done anything. So sometimes I just, you know, I would just have a date. I stop myself from being like too nice guy. I try to not worry too much, because I would, you know, like, it's the first time in my life that I'm actually casually dating. And then women like me, and they are attracted to me, and then I start feeling bad. So I go back into my old patterns, and I think like, but I have not done anything for you, so why would you come home with me now? And so we're going home, and I think like, okay, is there anything I can cook at home? You know, like, because then I think, oh my goodness, you get back into your nice guy syndrome. Like, stop it. You know, she's not going home with you in order so that you are cooking some nice dinner for her. you know, like, don't start paying again, right? So yeah. She's, you know, I did not even have, you know, we did not have had sex. So, and even if you would not need to pay anything, so even after sex, you don't have to get out of bed and make her pancakes with banana, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's actually the reason why she probably wants to go home with you the most is that you're not paying anything. You haven't devalued yourself by showing that you need to pay something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, it might be just a fun thing to think about. I think obviously you could go too far in this direction too, but thinking that she needs to pay something, like it's something that it's more valuable to her than it is to you.
Right. I had exactly or kind of a similar thought when I went out with someone this week. I caught myself thinking about my outfit, how I want to look when I meet her for the first time, thinking like, okay, what style does she like or might she like? And then I thought to myself, why is it that she judges you if she likes you? Why can't it be, well, I go on this date and let's see if she deserves me.
Right.
Let's see. Maybe I don't like her. And if I don't like her, she will have to work a bit harder to get me.
Yeah.
But this is so far away from everything that I have been trained as a kid.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you're moving that direction pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Based on what you shared last time.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm moving there quite quickly. I think I'm more, how can I say it? I'm more successful in that field than I would have ever dreamed.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared me and still does a bit, because I was not afraid actually to date. And then I was, on the one hand, I was afraid to be rejected by women. But also I was afraid to be liked by women at the same time, because that would mean, yeah, that's something liked by women without paying any price, without getting into slavery again, becoming a boyfriend again of someone and serving this woman again. But I'm just not used to the situation in which I'm just myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm dating, and actually women go out with me and have sex with me. And sometimes when I'm lying in my bed and I'm not conscious about what I'm doing, I get panic attacks still.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so new. I thought I think my goodness, I just had sex with this woman and went home. Did not leave any flowers. Did not make any nice, nothing. Did no nice guy shit. I had sex. And what is she thinking? And so I had the situation which I wrote her or called her or whatever and said like, yeah, is everything fine? You know, like, is there anything you want to tell me? And she was like, why would you ask that? I had fun. How about you? And I was like, yeah, I also had fun. Right. Okay. Do you want to see me again next Saturday? And I was like, okay, cool. Then see you next Saturday. And I was like, is it that easy?
Yeah.
Can it be that easy?
Yeah. I mean, it might take some time for that. Because it's like almost like you feel like you're accruing a debt by getting things for free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember in just right before the holidays, you sent me an email because you were almost thinking of continuing your celibacy.
Yeah, I did not want to enter the dating game. Absolutely not. I was really afraid of it. I was sweating in my bed. I was lying awake. I was shaking. I was thinking like, okay, I can't go out there. Like, either women will like completely reject me and not see me. Because I'm also a short guy. So I also had, when I was younger, this short guy complexes that, you know, like they only like tall guys, you know, and I will never have a chance. So it's better to not get into dating ever and be rejected. Not get into dating and stay there, because then there's no chance that you can get rejected. But there's, of course, then also no chance that you that you will be abundant and successful.
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, I was encouraging you to throw yourself in there, but we didn't speak for a couple of weeks. I didn't know, like when we spoke again in January, I had no idea what had happened to you or anything. Could you share actually what had you choose to start dating, and what was that like, those first dates after 6 months like?
What had me choosing to just do it is basically, I think it was because you've written to me like I should just get out and be and kind of face the what I'm afraid of. Mm-hmm. And I think that was exactly the right thing to do. And it's also what I can just really say about all my journey. Everything I said until now is go where you feel it's uncomfortable. Just go there. It has always worked out, and it was the same this time. I just had to face this dating thing. And it's the first dates were really good. So everything I was afraid of did not happen. I was not rejected. On the contrary, I met different women and dated different women, or I'm still doing that. But I was sure that I didn't want to be in a relationship, in a monogamous relationship right now. Because there's just, you know, like it's just not what I want right now in this phase of my life. And I was afraid to tell that because I learned from my mother and my girlfriends that, what do you want to say? You want to say that you want to fuck around and sleep with three girls at the same time or what? And I know what my old me would say, like, no, you know, it's not what I'm saying.
I'm not that guy.
Yeah. And then you said, like, then you come to the, yeah, that's exactly what you want to do. You just want to be free. You want to experience your sexuality. You know, like, I was very suppressed in my sexuality. You know, I shamed my sexuality. I shamed my desires for dominance, my desires for aggression, and to all of these things. And so, yes, exactly. That's what I'm, if I'm honest, that's what I want. I would just want to be free in my dating life. And so, you know, I started dating several people. And then I had the situation, which I thought, like, okay, now you, first of all, it's crazy. You see multiple women, but they don't know how you're feeling, right? You would not say, maybe not say it, you know, at the first time you meet, but then at some point, I start to feel like, okay, yeah, but you know, I think you should tell them. And then I was super nervous and thought, like, okay, I have to tell them the truth, because my new standard for myself is speak your truth. Always just say what you want. Don't be a nice guy. Don't go around it. Don't lie. Don't be nice. Just say what you want. And then I told them, and I said, like, yeah, you know, like, started off being super nervous. Like, yeah, you know, I like you, and I know we have good conversations and everything, but I want to see other girls. Actually, I'm seeing other girls, and I just want to, you know, be physical. And she said, like, you just want to have sex with me. And I'm like, yeah, basically. Cool. Yeah, it's fine. Like, I could also, you know, I could imagine, you know, going into a longer relationship with you. But if that's not what you want, this woman told me, that's fine. I enjoy the sex with you. It's all cool. And I'm like, you don't want to kill me? Because, you know, my old nice guy is thinking, like, oh, no, mom will come, or your girlfriends, or whoever, this female dragon will come and bite off your head because he wants sex. Because, you know, my old patterns, right? My old belief is sex. A man who wants sex and does not want to please a woman is just bad. And she just told me the opposite. She was like, absolutely fine. And so I'm just seeing the people I see. Everyone knows what I'm doing, and everyone's fine with that. And it's like, it's ridiculous. It's so, it's if you would have told me that 1 year ago that this is possible, I would. It's just, it's a joke. It's really, it's a joke. Absolutely.
Are you still having the panic attack feelings though?
No. Okay. At the moment, I think they vanished. I can't promise myself that they will not come back. But if they will come back, I know what it is.
Cool.
It might be that there is a woman that I really, really find super nice, and I really like her super a lot. So the more I'm attracted to someone particularly, the more I would get back into my nice guy panic, because I think like, oh no, what do I have to do so she likes me? And then I have to again calm myself down, think like, okay, dude, yeah, but we know the story, mm-hmm. You know, you don't please, you don't caretake. Even if you like her, she also needs to show that she deserves you, right? And you don't have to crawl to her feet and kiss her feet, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I can calm down. That's fine. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I think last time we spoke, I suggested going further and further and asking for edgier and edgier desires, or stating edgier and edgier desires to kind of blast away the transactional belief. Has anything happened on that? I'm just curious. You don't have to share the details.
No. I did not. I was not courageous enough to ask for these things right now, but I'm comfortable that I will be able to do that. Because once you've learned to go, you know, where you feel uncomfortable, you teach yourself it's not dangerous. Speaking the truth is not dangerous. Doing what you like, having a desire or desires, breaking up with a woman just because it's not working out, all of these things will not kill you eventually. And if you learn that there is no danger in speaking the truth and in just going where it's uncomfortable and you can handle it, you teach yourself you are actually strong enough to handle it, and you're even stronger than you think. There might be things you're capable of handling that you're probably not even aware of.
Yeah, that's so key. That so many people are imprinted to be afraid of things that they don't need to fear, and it's like this learned helplessness thing. It's not just with men; it's kind of across the board in society. But certainly, anyone played nice guy syndrome is essentially that. It's like a set of learned fears or perceived dangers.
Absolutely, I have this. There's always this story in my mind of this Indian elephant who was, as a baby, chained to a flock. Oh, is it, you know, is it a tree or what? No.
Yeah.
You know,
this with thing. Like a, with a rope.
Rope. Yeah. You know that story, right?
Yeah.
And so he grows up and becomes a huge elephant who could just, you know, rip off the chain like easily. But he does not dare because he's just so conditioned to be a small baby elephant who's not able to. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we're all fucking giant elephants.
Yeah. or most of us don't know what our limits are.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think a big thing is like, especially with like men dealing with women, is knowing that just because you get negative feedback, it doesn't mean that is not the signal that things are bad, right? Because sometimes you need to enter the conflict. Like they're almost expecting you to enter the conflict. And then later on is where you get to see mm-hmm. what the result is.
Right. Yeah. It just, in my case, it was just that I learned that the judgment of a woman is the ultimate truth, is the ultimate judgment. So if she complains, it must be something about you. And I need to unlearn that my own truth is what I care about. And of course I care about other people, but first and most of all, it's my own judgment that is the most accurate and I believe in the most.
Yeah. Cause you're not even doing anything nice ultimately, because really she's throwing some shit at you. It's a test obviously to see if you can actually make her feel safe, and then doing what she wants or doing what she says makes her feel less safe. So you're actually not serving her anyway.
Yeah.
Like the best thing you can do for her is to demonstrate you're powerful. And then of course she'll want to sleep with you. She'll want to do things with you because you make her feel safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So what's next for you? Do you know?
I enjoy life. I really enjoy life, being free from being a miserable nice guy. I can't explain to you how miserable I was and how everything feels different. It sounds pathetic. I always speak in these images, but like I see the air smells different. I'm out in the nature. I do trips with friends, male friends very often, sports, just dating, making music, doing what I love, having my own hobbies, without, you know, thinking, would my girlfriend like me to try out dancing with a female coworker? I just dance. If I want to, you know, go dancing with a female coworker, you know, like she, whatever, or do things that I like. That's next for me. Staying on that track and trying to deepen my knowledge, or let's say, to make sure that I stick with what I learned last year.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once it's like so cool with your story, because it is in a sense like typical nice guy hero's journey. But you did it very quickly and it was very extreme. And I think, you know, I mean, one thing, you know, we can perhaps give credit to your ex in that sense, but like you really dove into your pain. And I, you know, and I've seen, you know, obviously I've spoken to a lot of guys in similar nice guy traps. Some people stretch it out so long, like years and years and years, because they don't want to confront their pain. Whereas you kind of just dove in, at least from when we spoke, at least, let yourself feel the hurt, and of course it moved things fast for you.
Yeah, that's true. But I have to also say that, of course, you have not seen me the last 10 years where I have been this nice guy. I think you just met me in the face, or I found you in the face where I thought, like, I'm so fed up with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I saw that anyway, there is no way around it. So you can also just, like, if you confront the things that you're afraid of and you think that they might kill you, you can either find out quickly if you die or die slowly. And then I thought, like, okay, then, you know, like, if I have to die, I go there and, you know, like, attack. Yeah. You know, like, I was a small pathetic weasel all the time and afraid of fighting. And then I thought, like, okay, now if you choose to fight, you can also do it full on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome, man. Was there anything else that you think really helped you, like any points, any realizations for the many people that have experienced what you were experiencing last year?
Trust your guts. Mm-hmm. If you feel that you're not good, you're probably not good. Don't question your perception.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's big. Yeah, that's still a thing that I need to reinforce in myself, especially when people you meet are disagreeing. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you just have to believe that your way is the right way, even if you're not sure.
Yeah.
It's like the alternative means you're definitely going to be wrong if you're following other people's right.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, man. This was great. Yeah. Anything else you want to let any last words?
No.
Cool. Well, it's been very cool watching your journey. I hope to see more of it. Yeah, thanks so much for sharing your story.
Yeah, and thank you for your help so far. It was really great. See you.